A few years ago, Paul Gambaccini did a poll of rock critics and asked them for their favourite LP of all time. And California Bloodline in the top 200 LPs came in at 36. Were you aware of this?
I was. I was floored by it. I couldn't believe it. It was a good feeling.
Yeah. It showed that you got critical acclaim for the album. Were you surprised it would be California Bloodlines? Is that the one that stands out for you?
No, it isn't. I'm always surprised at the reaction to that album. I still today can't sit through it. I think it has a good feel. I think the songs are good, but I just think my performance on it is dreadful. It was a lot of fun to make the record, I'll tell you. Nick Vinay should take full credit for that. After the Signals to the Glass album, he said, no, John, let's go to Nashville. Let's get a live feel. The best players are down there. It was really his vision, and it was really the first emergence of folk into country rock album done before the Eagles, and that I can take no credit for. That was Nick's. He's an incredibly intuitive guy, and as a producer, he's excellent in getting the best out of you, but has no real ideas in the studio. He just sort of lays the format for you to come up with them. And the album was done, except for a few vocal overdubs on Pirates and that, was done live. And we made a two-track as we were doing the album and ended up using the two-track. When we went back to mix it, we couldn't get it as good as the two-track. So actually, it's pretty much a live album.
When you say your vocals on the album are dreadful, what do you mean by that?
Dreadful is dreadful. I just, for me, I can't stand it. But it has nothing to do with anyone else liking an album. I mean, it's not important that I like it, you know. My view of it has nothing to do with what someone with coming in with a clear board would have to think about it. I mean, I have a lot of backlog going into it.
Henry, it's getting towards supper time, you know. Henry.
There she calls. From her second floor room, the end of a back porch afternoon, where we'd stand on the bow of our own man of war, no longer the back anymore. And we sailed pulling for China, the pirates of Stone County Road, weathered and blown.
What about California Bloodlines?
California Bloodlines was one of those songs that is just given to you. Sometimes I really don't feel like I write these songs at all. Because when I start writing, a whole other person comes out who has nothing to do with me during the workaday world. I mean, if I were to write songs with what I really deal with every day, they would be much different than what I write. But when I start writing songs, this other person comes out. And California Bloodlines wrote itself. I think I wrote it in 6 minutes or something. I just was playing around with a G tuning on the guitar, and it just came out. It just effortless. It just flowed right out.
Had I been born in New York City, a New York City girl I'd know, working in the concrete, not the sunlight, living in that New York rain and snow. There's California bloodlines in my heart, and a California woman in my song. There's California bloodlines in my heart, and a California heartbeat in my soul. Think I might have never known you if I had lived my life in Tennessee. But I really could have never let that happen, for you in California are in me. There's California bloodlines in my heart, California woman in my song. There's California bloodlines in my heart, and California heartbeat in my soul.
Your woman, and that was covered almost immediately by Pat Boone, I think.
Pat Boone did it, a group called Red, White, and Bluegrass. Who else did it? John Wilkinson did it. Robert Goulet recorded it. It's a real enigma right now, Spence, because recently I was sending some tapes down to my good friend in Nashville, Randy Talmadge, looking to see if I could get a record deal out of Nashville to do some country records. And I did a new version of July, Your Woman, that I really love. And he played it for the record company, and they say, well, that song's been a hit too many times. It's never been a hit. I think Gordon Lightfoot had that problem with Early Morning Rain. Everyone thought it was a hit, but it had never been a hit. And so even with my own song, they'd figured I had a hit on it and never did. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's just a little meaningless trivia.
Do you remember how you came to write the song?
I know exactly how I came to write it. I was really taken by the chord progression on Gentle on My Mind, the rollingness of that. I love that roll on that. And I'm sure there was some character or somebody that I was totally smitten with at that time, or I can't remember exactly who the person was, but the I Can't Hold It on the Road, that feeling that I remember from high school before when sex was something that happened to other people, and you could really get high dancing close with somebody or just making out or just being with them, because that was as far as it was going to go, and the tension would get incredible. And I really wanted to write a song about the great American fantasy of driving down the road and you there's a girl by the highway and you pick her up and you just, this magic happens, and you're never seen again, you know. It's then a gypsy girl named Shannon, you know, and all this. I just felt, wow. You know, I love what Steinbeck would do, these great colorful characters in Cannery Row, Doc and the boys, you know. And to me, that was what made the book fun, to lose myself in characters larger than life. You know, there's a great movie called The Rainmaker, with Burt Lancaster, who plays Starbuck, and it was real magical to me. So I was, in essence, I wanted to write a song like Gentle on My Mind, and I wanted to include these characters in it. Oh.
Oh. fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I'd just assume right now, along over to the side of the road, and show you what I mean. Da 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 da. Shula, you're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. And I can't hold my eyes on the white line out before me when your hand's on my collar and you're talking in my ear. And I have been around with a gypsy girl named Shannon, daughter of the devil. It is strange that I should mention that to you. I haven't thought of her in years. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Me and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I just assume right now, pull on over to the side of the road and show you what I mean.
July, You're a Woman from 1969 brings us to the end of the first part of our interview with John Stewart. Next week we'll be taking John Stewart through the 70s and into the 80s and playing more of that New Brighton concert. And instead of our signature tune, I'm going to play out with an unreleased track by John Stewart, Those Oldies But Goodies. Cheerio.
2, 1, 2, 3.
Didn't think there was anybody alive. We got off the train back in 55.
Almost Saturday Night was compiled and presented by Spencer Lee.